I'm Pastor Carl Knockengost, and I have the privilege of bringing God's word to you today. Before we go, before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, just thank you that we can come before you on such a beautiful, glorious day of your creation, that we can study your word, that we can go from here and live out our faith to the world around us. May we do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, Stephen Covey wrote a best-selling book entitled The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm sure some of you have probably read it, probably memorized it, maybe. He advises a person, well, actually, the second habit is to begin with the end in mind. The second habit he has is to begin with the end in mind. He advises a person engaging in this habit to imagine he's at his own funeral, and what God and what people would say, or what you would want the end of your career to look like, what people would say at the end of your retirement party. And that's a good practice to have for this life. I don't think it's bad, but I don't believe it's a good practice for Christians. Why not? Because I believe Christians should look to eternity. The words I would want to hear at the end of my life would be from Christ in Matthew 25:34. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Those are glorious words to hear. A kingdom prepared for us before the creation of the world. And it is our inheritance. And we don't just receive that inheritance. God tells us to take it. That inheritance is our possession. What does all that mean? How do I understand it? It may be too great for me to even get my arms around. Well, let's imagine. Suppose one night you got a phone call. You answer and the man on the other end introduces himself as an attorney. Oh boy. He says, I'm with such and such a firm and we are trying to find the relative of a missing person. Your name is so and so. Did your mother come to this country from Scotland 50 years ago? And did she have a brother who went to Australia? You say, well, you know, she left me a family Bible. Let me check that out. She wrote everything down there. Let's see. There's my mother. She was born in Edinburgh and on such a date, and she had a brother, and he went to Australia. We've never heard from him since. We have no idea what happened to him. Well, says the lawyer, this is wonderful news, for this is the last link in the evidence. He went to Australia and had a son to whom he left his fortune. The son died and left no heir. The lawyers in Australia have traced it back to Scotland. The Scotch people traced it here. And we have come to you, for we believe that you are the next of kin. And you say, yes, I believe I am. Well, says the lawyer, I'm very happy to inform you that you have a very large inheritance. And you say, hey, I could get that new Ford SUV I've been looking at. And he says, it's a very large inheritance. And you say, BMW. And he says, in fact, your uncle had coal mines and diamond mines and a lot of land. And you say, Lamborghini. And the lawyer says, now, of course, it's in the courts, and you can't get anything very soon except for the down payment. Your uncle owned hundreds of thousands of acres of land, of sheep ranches. Oil and gold have been discovered there. It's going to be several years before you can get it all, but they have a little down payment that's ready for you now. Well, what is that down payment, you ask? And he says, well, this little down payment is only $25 million. If that's the little down payment, what's the whole thing going to be? Not all the certified public accountants in the world could ever add up the glories of the inheritance reserved for you and for me. It would be impossible for a team of bankers, accountants, and lawyers to get together and tell us what the total is. All they can do is tell us a little bit about the interest on the account. This is about as close as anyone can get to understanding our inheritance, because the down payment is God the Holy Spirit. The inheritance is nothing short of the fact that we inherit God Himself. It's nothing short of the fact that we inherit God Himself. Today I want to look at the down payment of this inheritance. Now, there are several sermons I could give on this subject of our inheritance. It's a lot to talk about. But what I want to do today is to look at our down payment, understand it a little bit, and then to discuss it in practical terms about what we're to do with it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Bo has lived in Ephesians for the summer and has walked us through chapter 1 about what God has done for us, chapter 2 about the church, and chapter 3, the prayer that we would know the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of, that God has for you and for me. Today I want to focus in on chapter 1, verse 13. Look there. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. You were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. May God bless the reading of His word. As Pastor Bo has said before, the we in chapter 1 refers to Jewish believers. The you refers to Gentile believers, you and me. Gentiles were included in Christ, and having believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The seal stamps us as God's own. He owns us. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Holy Spirit residing in our hearts is the guarantee of our inheritance. In giving the Spirit to us, God is not simply promising us our final inheritance, but actually providing us with a foretaste of it, even if it is only a small fraction of the future endowment. He gives us a foretaste of our own inheritance, even if it's only a small fraction of the future endowment. And what is that foretaste? What does the Spirit do in our lives? Well, Scripture gives us a clear picture of His activity in our lives. There's a lot there. We don't have the time today to go over it. But what I want to do is that you give you a partial list. The Spirit lives in our lives, joins us to the body of Christ, the community of saints, the community of believers. We have newness of life because of Christ's sacrifice and the Spirit's indwelling. The Spirit produces spiritual maturity in our lives and a deepening relationship to God. This leads us to make more mature, discerning decisions in our lives that reflect the will of God, another aspect of the Spirit's involvement. The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are an aspect of the Christ-like character the Spirit produces in us. The Spirit teaches us about God. He guides us. We don't have to walk blindly through life. We can know that God is leading us. The Spirit assures us that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness that we are children of God, Romans 8:16. As children of God, we share in the life of the Father. Knowing you share in the life of God is fantastic assurance. All these things are there for us, and that's only part of it. They guide you into a life that can have meaning and an impact upon the world around you. The Spirit gives gifts. These gifts are God-given abilities to be used in serving the body of Christ. And finally, the Spirit intercedes for us in prayer. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. Romans 8:26. That's quite an inheritance. And that's only a fraction of what God has planned for us. Notice, though, that the Spirit's work in our lives is to mature us, to bring us into a deeper walk and a relationship with God, and to serve others. In fact, the concept of a biblical inheritance, certainly much larger than what I just now presented here, is a reminder that God has not intended man to lead an autonomous, isolated, self-sufficient existence, but to be involved, using our deposit now. God has given us gifts and responsibilities to be exercised in regard to others. Our inheritance is a possession to be used now for the future. Used now for the future. So let's apply this thought. Let's apply it to the present day. Turn with me to Proverbs 13, 22. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. It's a book of wisdom literature and sayings that have lines that are called couplets. And I wanted to look at one of those couplets today and really only want to look at the first half. So look at verse chapter 13, verse 22. And you may have beaten me there. A good person leaves an inheritance for his children's children. A good person leaves an inheritance for his children's children. The Hebrew word for inheritance in this verse is a different word than it was normally used for the word inheritance. In this verse, it means wealth. And this verse primarily looks at the transmission of wealth, what you would give to your children and your grandchildren should you pass away. But the word also means strength, transliterated from Hebrew into English is yahil, and it means strength or character. It's used in Proverbs 31:10, a wife of noble character, who can find? Noble character there is that word. So it speaks of nobility. It speaks of high character. It also describes people of worth. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. Valiant men whose hearts God had touched, 1 Samuel 10, 26. Valiant is that word. So women and men who are valiant, who have been touched by the heart of God, who have noble character, are righteous persons who transmit an inheritance to their children. And it's not just wealth. It's character and spiritual strength. This is the kind of character the Holy Spirit builds in you and me by his indwelling in us. This is the kind of character that families pass on from generation to generation. It is enduring. This all makes sense and we know it, and many of us strive to do it. So why is it so important to talk about it all the time? Why don't we just do it? Well, because we live in a time when marriage is under attack. And when the Christian faith no longer strongly influences our culture. Let me give you two points as to why this is important. One's negative, and one presents a fantastic opportunity. Marcia Gessen, an author and gay rights activist, said this about gay marriage in March of this year. Fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage once we get there. Because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change, and that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change. And again, I don't think it should exist. Let me repeat that. Fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we are going to do with marriage once we get there. Because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change, and that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and again, I don't think it should exist. There are secularists like Marcia who want to see marriage destroyed as an institution in our country. And this stands in opposition to the Word of God, which esteems the family as foundational to the health of any society. All we have to do is look around us to see that marriage is being redefined and destroyed in segments of our society with tragic, destructive results. We have to raise up a new generation of Christians committed to righteous living And this makes the living out of Proverbs 13:22 all the more paramount. Now, here is the opportunity. A recent Gallup poll found that 77% of Americans believe that religion is losing its influence in our society. The last time that number was that high was in the 1970s. Does that remind you of anything? Recession, high gas prices, war, high crime rate. We're back there. This time, however, Gallup added a question, asking participants whether more American religion would be positive or negative. 75% of Americans responded that society would benefit from an increase in religion. 75%. That's not a desire for nostalgic days, but a desire for answers to life. A desire to see Christian character exhibited, a desire for stable families, and a desire for valiant people whose hearts God has touched to live out the deposit of the Holy Spirit in their lives, waiting for the inheritance to come. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Bo said in his sermon that our generation, or the generations living now, will have to decide how to live out the kingdom in our culture. What I'm giving you today is the long view. This is the long view. We have to decide to stand and to stand firm. The passing on of an inheritance to future generations of wealth, character, spiritual strength is one way we influence our society for God. So how do we do it? How do we leave an inheritance to our children's children? How do we live in such a way as to honor the Spirit's life in us and to leave an inheritance to those around us? Here are a few takeaways. Number one, and this is, I consider, one of the most important. Be alert and aware. And this is the point you think about. Sometimes when you apply scriptures, it's not necessarily what you do, but how you think. If you're going to build character and spiritual strength in children, it takes time and effort, and it takes awareness. Do your best to be in the moment with your child or your grandchild. You don't have to be perfect at it. Just aware when the opportunity presents itself for you to pass on wisdom or to live out your faith. Again, you don't have to be perfect at it, but be intentional. Remember Deuteronomy 6:7. Impress them. These are the Ten Commandments. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. For us Americans, that means at dinner. Try to have it together whenever you can. And believe me, I know the struggles. I had two daughters who swam competitively for 8 years. And it was difficult to get dinner together. It's really hard. With all the activities and all things going on, try. And take the time to talk there. Talk to them in the car on the way to school, and especially on vacation, and in prayers before bed and before school in the morning. Even when my girls were in high school, I would drive them to school and pray for them in the parking lot in the car. Did I embarrass them? Yes. Did I care? No. Because they had a tough day. And I said, you got a tough day. Let's pray about it. Okay, Dad, all right. And I prayed. Secondly, get on the path. If you're going to leave an inheritance, then you have to know how to leave one. Financially, a lot of us know what to do, but a spiritual inheritance takes work. You need to understand what you're trying to pass down. I urge you to get on our discipleship path that we're building here at Brandywine. We have classes where you can learn, small groups where others will help you grow in your faith, and spiritual serving experiences that you can do with your family. Get involved. Thirdly, pray for your children and for your grandchildren. For years, I have been part of a small group where our purpose is to simply pray for our children. When we meet, we talk about what is going on in our families, with our children, and with each other. And then we pray. And we have prayed for all sorts of circumstances, decisions, illnesses, jobs, whatever. And we have watched God answer. Pray. Pray in their presence and look for God to answer. My girls are in college now, and I travel down and meet with them, and I meet their friends, and I take them out to dinner, and I say, come on, we're going to pray. I have never, ever, in all those years, seen one of my daughter's friends look at me and go, well, no thank you. I don't need that right now. They've never done it. Why? Because they want to see character. They want to know stability. They want to see that families do proper things together, like pray at dinner time. And all of them bow their heads and they pray with me. And they don't challenge it at all. And what I hear back later on is, hey, Dad, that was pretty cool. Get mentored. Number four, get mentored or mentor someone. Perhaps you are here and you don't have children, or your children are grown and have moved away. Well, remember that the Holy Spirit indwells you and makes you part of the body of Christ. And so when you're not with family, you can mentor someone in the faith. Or you can be involved in getting mentored by someone in the faith. Live out your inheritance in the body of Christ. If you want to learn, you can find someone to mentor you, and we can help you find a mentor or become one. We'll be glad to. And lastly, don't give up hope. Remember, God is sovereign and gracious. Your impact living out the Christian faith can have a permanent effect for good on your children and on your friends. However, the pull of the world is powerful. And we can't always determine what children and friends will do. They can walk away. But we can continue to live for God, continue to set the example, and never give up. Don't give up. We live in a difficult world that increasingly stands opposed to our faith and seeks to marginalize, if not eradicate, the influence of the church. Let us stand firm. Pass on the inheritance of our faith and pray that one day we will hear those words. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Let's pray. Father, we come before you knowing that we live in difficult times and that there are people here who wish to eradicate the influence of our church and the influence of the Christian faith. And Father, help us to be people who stand firm, who realize the importance of passing on an inheritance all the way down to 2 to 3 generations that will not forget, that will live out their faith in you, that will set an example to the world around us of what it means to live righteous, valiant, moral lives. And I pray you give us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.